This artist talk is with exhibiting artists Katie Kozak and Lucien Dury as part of the current Balkan exhibition, Aporian Notes to a Medium.
So we had a show at the Gordon Smith Gallery in North Vancouver last year called Endless Summer, curated by Jen Jackson. And this artwork was initially made kind of for very practical reasons, being that we wanted to transform the overall space of that gallery, primarily the back wall. Like in this particular instance, there's like an architect approach to making the gallery space, which in my, there's a lot of details like sliding walls that are supposed to be windows or strange angles or combinations of materials that kind of your eye goes to. So our immediate desire when working in that space was to figure out a way to transform the space, or your first impression of the space, I should say. But we wanted to come up with a practical way to transform the space. And so in conversations with Jen Jackson and my mom and some other people, we decided to source these used bed sheets and create this work.
I really liked that this kind of like cover work would also become like curtains for the doorway, but mm-hmm. then it also hid the doorways.
We talked about this talk as being kind of organized around these some ideas of like queering of a space. So, you know, I would say that probably applies here, certainly, like the hard lines, the kind of stark whiteness, this idea of like bringing the decorative in and, you know, transforming what you might call masculine lines or features into kind of this, you know, smooth, soft, but also loud kind of texture. So that, I think that's something we were thinking about. Also this idea of holding. So like creating a space that was kind of a reprieve from the rest of the exhibition or dramatically different, that was kind of like a holding space. And I think going back to the Belkin and Aporia, that also happens here in a different way. So the viewer enters the partition and is kind of held between the curtains. And, you know, whereas in the original exhibition, it was sort of a change in lighting and sound. Here the lighting is not as dramatic, but it's still kind of like you notice an immediate sonic difference in being outside the curtains versus wrapped up inside them. So that was something we were excited about. Also the fact that the curtains in the first installation were 15 feet tall. So here there's a sort of an extra 4 feet or so that folds over and kind of almost creates like a, I guess, more of a drapery or window-like treatment.
The white spots are from beeswax, which would have to go on first. Then the dyes were laid, and then we would put salt on it and leave it to dry, and the salt would kind of like pull the colors. So the kind of like oozy, whirly, runny bits are the salt pulling. And then once it was dry, we'd have to iron all the beeswax spots out. Then you get that kind of like illumination of the beeswax spots. And for me, it like feels very cosmic, which I'm into.
Yeah, we talked kind of in a few of our projects about like micro and macro. So like some of them looking almost like mold or spores or microscope views, but then also kind of relating to the cosmos and the celestial. So that's we've done that with other works, but I guess it's part of the like trying to defamiliarize a material from its like immediate association. So maybe to make them not so recognizable as bed sheets, but to, you know, yeah, like point at other places essentially.
Yeah, and we had the idea, if you go back to like the big one, that like sewing the sheets in lines would like allow our dye patterns to be like more kind of congruent but because the fabrics were all different and sourced from different spaces, it actually kind of created more of like a patchwork effect,
right? Which, like, we some of them are the exact same dye bath, but the difference in color is dramatic. Go ahead.
You also wanted to leave the tags on from the sheets. Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. To kind of like, you know, it's not something that is immediately perceivable, but that if you get closer and look and you know, wander through them, you kind of encounter these tags that talk about the blends of cotton and the weave, perhaps in a more precise way. Also thinking about the idea of bodies, like these are we talked about the, you know, the material of the sheets and the material of the dyes and the beeswax, but also there's these kind of inherent materials in them, like the oil, the bodily oils of potential or of strangers, or I guess potential bodily oils of strangers, and detergents and bleaches and softeners, you know, which in the process of making these were very apparent. You know, it's kind of amazing how the smell of working with some of these, when you wet the material, you know, became so overpowering in some cases. And then what you get kind of walking through them is this, it's a scent experience, I think, still, being the beeswax, the detergents, the dyes, you know, all, it smells a bit like laundry and a bit like beeswax and a bit like bodies. So also that the wax was, at least a good portion of it was, we processed ourselves. And so it had chunks of bees bodies in it. So wings and legs and parts that we kind of didn't intend to leave in the wax, but that sort of made their way. So there's evidence of that too. One of the elements of this is that, you know, both Katie and I point really directly to the people who kind of ate our practices, that being family and friends. And so I would say 90% of these sheets came from my mom, Maggie Halford, who sourced them in Abbotsford thrift stores, which, you know, is a relatively conservative place. And they largely came from church thrift stores. So there's also that like element of those spaces and being in those spaces as queer people, and it already being part of the material gathering. And then, like, you know, the act of turning kind of something intimate outward. Queering of a space sometimes is just like being in a space and being queer. Yeah. And holding space or asking for space in a space that maybe isn't welcoming to queer people.
I think with covers, yeah, like people touching it, going through it, seems like a good thing. But like part of me thinks like part of that push-pull is like, that goes with what you said about aporia being holding two truths, is that often when each of us agree and are happy on a final work, like covers, we're sometimes happy for two different reasons.
Collaboration is conflict, which,
yeah,
I mean like
you say that.
I say that a lot. I think it's great. I think that we wouldn't be here without, you know, the necessary conflict. And that's like the work gets refined through our own individual lenses that are like crashing into each other. Which I think has to do with the theme of aporia and that, like, the uncertainty of collaboration.